Let's look this morning at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. 1 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7. Does everyone have a handout sheet this morning? Yep. Okay, great. Now, if you need a pen, by the way, don't be shy. There are some on the table there. You're welcome to borrow those. But if you do borrow one, please put it back or else we'll run out. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. We'll continue where we left off. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7, let's read this together, shall we? Verse number 7, ready? "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Amen. Wonderful verses. And this morning's lesson is entitled, "Being Strong Until His Appearing." Be strong until His appearing. Throughout this series, we have been looking at the issue of being strong. Being strong in the last days. And you know, there are some unique challenges in the days in which we live, because the Bible says in the last days, evil men and seducers, that means liars, shall wax worse and worse. That basically means people are not going to get any better. No matter what the world says and believes that we are creating a better world and we can do things to make this world better, that's just on a surface level. Maybe we have better gadgets today, maybe we have better iPhones, and maybe we have better facilities, but the heart of man is not getting any better. Have you noticed? It's getting more wicked. These days, it's hard to find someone who you can even trust and who you can even shake hands with and know that you can trust them. It's so hard to trust someone today. You know, the Bible says because there is a sinful nature in each one of us, that actually accumulates over time throughout generations, and it gets worse in every generation. And my friends, we're living in the last days. And we need to be prepared as Christians and not be innocent to assume that we won't experience difficulties in the day that we're in. In fact, the Bible says for Christians, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now remember, the book of 1 Peter was written to who? Believers who were experiencing what? Persecution and great suffering under the Roman Emperor Nero. He was using Christians as a scapegoat to blame for his evil actions in Rome, and blaming them for the fires that took place, blaming them for the problems in Rome. And the Romans were looking for someone to blame, and Nero blamed the Christians. And so he began to slaughter them. He began to persecute the church, and he began to engage the empire into a great persecution and hatred against the people of God. And these were people that were experiencing great trials. Now, I'm not going to say that any of us will perhaps ever experience the physical persecution that these believers did, but we will suffer persecution. We will experience trials. And in any case, what we need is the same medicine, amen? We need God's Word, and we need God's help this morning. Last week, we looked at the wonderful hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we simply focus our hearts on the wonderful gift of salvation, if we really meditate on all that we have in the Lord, my friends, that will create a wonderful hope in your heart each day. This morning, we're talking about being strong until His appearing. And you know, there's nothing more encouraging other than being saved than to know that the one who has saved us can come at any minute to take us away to be with Him. And this is what Peter encouraged these believers with. He encouraged them to keep on keeping on until His appearing. How many of you this morning have ever felt like giving up on life? Giving up? Something suddenly happens, and in your heart you just can see only that one thing, and you feel like giving up. You feel like packing it in. Although you may not know how to do that, that's just how you feel. You know, each one of us will have moments in our lives where we'll be discouraged and we'll be challenged and we'll experience unpleasant things and feel like giving up. But Peter said, don't give up. And he shared with them three things that we're going to look at this morning that will help you and I to keep on until the Lord comes. Amen. They're in your notes. Roman numeral number one, the assurance of our salvation. The assurance of our salvation. In verse 5, have a look with me. Roman numeral number 1, the blank is assurance. Remember, the answers are all the way at the back on the bottom of your notes if you need them. Roman numeral number 1, the assurance of our salvation. First of all, Peter, well, last week he spoke about being saved. Now, this time we're looking at how Peter reminds these believers that you cannot lose your salvation. You can be sure that you're saved and that you're saved forever. Amen. Now, before we move to that, notice what he says in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. What are the next words? Through faith unto salvation. You know, many people today believe that everyone is going to heaven. There are people in the world who will say that, look, we may be taking different paths, but we're all going to the same destination. Have you ever heard that before? And that's part of one of the great lies of the great apostasy of today. People believing that there are many paths to get to God. You know, we spoke on Sunday nights about the famous evangelist Billy Graham, who in the 50s was hosting all these evangelistic meetings and great crowds met. But then in the 80s, on Sunday night, a few weeks ago, I quoted a quote where Billy Graham said, look, if someone has never heard of Christ of the Bible, if they've never heard of the Jesus Christ of the Bible, he said, I believe that in another way they can have Christ coming to their heart. What was he saying? He was saying that even if they are part of a different religion, even if they believe something else, in their own way they can have Jesus Christ come into their heart. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus himself said, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Very exclusively he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by the way, if anyone says, hey, that's too narrow-minded, that's too exclusive, well, salvation has to be exclusive. Because if it's not, who will know how to get there? You know, the road has to be clear in order for you to travel on it. If you don't know which way to go, my friend, you're going to be lost. Thank God he makes it clear. Thank God there is only one way. Thank God anyone can come to Christ around the world. They don't need a church. They don't need a certain priest to help them. No, they just need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the Lord. Heard about an evangelist, and before he was a famous evangelist, he was working as a postman. He began to witness to his workmates as a Christian, and there was this one lady he was witnessing to, and she basically said to him, look, I don't believe what you're saying. You know, for example, all of us are on a different route when we're working at the post office. We all have a different route. And we all go a different way, but eventually we all come back to the same place, the post office. And she said, that's what I believe about heaven. You know, we're all on different paths, and ultimately we're all going to come back to the same place. And he said to this lady, look, here's the problem. Yes, we are all on different paths, but not everyone is going to the post office. Not everyone is going to end up in the same place. And we need to be sure that we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in the right way. What does the Bible say? Through faith unto salvation. The only way that you and I can be saved, can be sure that our sins are forgiven, is if we come to the Lord in faith. It is faith alone that saves. Faith unto salvation. The Bible is very clear. Notice there with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, there in your notes. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. Through faith. Now notice what God says next. He reinforces, stresses this point, and that not of yourselves. That means you and I can't do anything in our own strength or works to get to heaven. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A gift is something that's free, you cannot earn. It's given because someone loves you, and you either accept it or reject it, but you cannot earn it. If you earn a gift, it's not a gift anymore. It's a reward. It is the gift of God. What does God say next in those verses? Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's one of the clearest verses in the Bible about salvation. Don't miss it. When I was growing up, I thought I had to do good things to get to heaven. Maybe you once thought that too. If you believe that this morning, let me challenge you. That's not the way of salvation. If you're trying to get to heaven by being a good person, doing good things, trying to change yourself, hoping that God will accept you, my friends, we cannot be accepted by God because we are all wickedly sinful. But thank God Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for our sins. And there on that cross, He took the penalty for your sins and mine on Himself. And there He died and paid for them once and for all. And then He rose again from the dead so that you and I today can repent of our sins and put our faith, don't miss it, once and for all in Christ for our salvation. Once we trust Him alone for our full forgiveness of sins, we are forgiven forever. Faith unto salvation. We don't grow into becoming a Christian. We are saved instantly, once and for all, forever, once we make that turn of repentance from sin and faith once and for all in Christ. Then we grow as Christians, once we already have a home in heaven. I hope you see that clearly this morning. It is faith alone that leads to salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. It's only because of God's mercy, only because of God's mercy that we can be saved. Last week we spoke about being born again. Another wonderful description about salvation. Every one of us here this morning have a physical birth. There was a day that you were born physically. Jesus said you must be born again. That means there must be a specific time, and you remember that time that you were born again, that you were saved. If you don't remember when that happened, you may not know the date, that's okay. But if you don't remember the time, my friend, then you must be born again. There must be a specific time. Christianity and being saved is not a gradual process. It's not a process of getting to heaven. Heaven is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Jesus Christ offers that gift to us. We must receive Him by faith, trusting, believing in Him alone to be a Christian. Let me ask you this morning, has what you have heard this morning caused some doubts in your heart whether you are saved? If you do have some doubts, that's a good thing. Don't leave that where it is. God wants you to make sure before it's too late. When He speaks to us about our doubts, He wants us to share that with someone. If you have a doubt, come and see me after this morning. We can meet up and we can just look at some verses to make sure that you are 100% sure if there's a doubt. But if there's not a doubt, let me encourage you to tell others that salvation's by faith alone. We live in a religious world that needs to hear the truth, that we cannot earn our way to heaven. If we could, then Jesus didn't need to die on the cross, amen. If we could work our way there, He didn't need to do what He did. He did what He did because He is the only way, and His payment is sufficient. Now, there in your notes, we must be saved by faith, but salvation, what we're talking about, is secure. You know, there's another false teaching in the world today that says you can lose your salvation, believe it or not. Maybe some of you have heard it before. Very common in Pentecostal churches, very common in Hillsong churches. They teach you can lose your salvation. They talk about being saved through Christ alone. But then they say if you don't keep up being a good Christian, you can walk away from God. And they say you can lose your salvation and be in jeopardy of going to hell once again. My friends, that's not what the Bible tells us. Notice there in verse 5, look with me there at what God says. Not at what man says. What does God say in verse 5? Who are kept by the what? The power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, according to this verse, whose responsibility is it to keep you saved? All right, speak to me this morning. Whose responsibility? Who are kept by the power of God. My friends, once you are saved, guess what? It is not your responsibility to keep yourself saved. It is God who keeps you saved. You are sealed by His holy blood, and you are forgiven forever by His precious blood, and you are saved and kept saved by the power of God. There is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. But be careful, the critics have their criticisms. Have you ever heard this question? If you can be forgiven forever, once and for all, doesn't that mean you can just live as you please? Has anyone ever asked you that before?
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone ever said, how can you be forgiven once and for all and be sure of a home in heaven? If that was true, you could just go out and kill someone and still go to heaven. You know the question I like to ask when people say that? I like to ask them, well, who are you talking about? Do you know a genuine born-again believer that has just gone out and murdered someone? Oh, well, there must have been someone. No, tell me a name. That's the question I like to ask. Tell me a name. Who are you talking about? You're just making a made-up criticism. And my friends, the Bible tells us that, you see, once we are saved, God comes to live within us. The Bible says, notice there in your notes, regarding the Holy Spirit, notice what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and we are, don't miss it, sealed. God puts His stamp of approval on our hearts, on our souls. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. A seal is like one of those wax stamps that kings and princes and authorities put on their letters to stamp their authority and to show that there is a stamp of ownership. And the Bible says, don't miss it, the Holy Spirit is our seal of ownership. God dwells within us, and He changes our hearts to live for Him. And guess what? The Spirit of God is our seal of ownership. God owns us. It's His responsibility to keep you saved. And my friends, if you have been worried about losing your salvation, I trust that puts a smile on your dial. Amen. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. When we sin after we become Christians, he loves to cause us to doubt our salvation. What we need is what Peter gave these believers that were going through trials and suffering, perhaps some of them doubting their salvation. He said, don't forget, once you are saved, once you're sure that you're saved, you are kept by the power of God unto salvation. It is God that keeps us saved. Also, the Holy Spirit keeps us saved. Notice what Jesus Christ said in the book of John, John chapter 10. Now those verses are there, aren't they, in your notes? Have a look there with me. Don't believe the lies of the devil that you can lose your salvation. John chapter 10. By the grace of God, we will never believe this devilish doctrine in our church. John chapter number 10, verse 27. Jesus said these words from His own lips. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word?
Never
perish. If you've never memorized this verse, my friends, let me challenge you to do that. God says, the Lord Jesus says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. So Jesus Christ is saying, not only are you in My hands, but you're in the Father's hands. We've seen this morning that the Holy Spirit seals us. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are keeping us saved, and we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. The assurance of our salvation. See, if you're worried about your salvation, you cannot live the Christian life, because that will just consume your thoughts. You cannot witness. You cannot overcome the battles and trials in your life. That's why the Bible says concerning the spiritual armor of God, the helmet of salvation is the assurance of our salvation. That's the helmet that keeps our head protected, the most sensitive spot in the body. If we haven't got that helmet on each day and we are reminded about what God says, we will be easily attacked by the devil. We cannot lose our salvation. Here are some verses, by the way, to share with someone who says that you can lose your salvation. When someone says that you can lose their salvation, either they've never been saved before, or they're just believing some false teaching and going by their feelings, not by the foundation of the Word of God. That's what we need to keep us strong until He comes. Thank God that any trial that you experience, any failure that you experience in your own lives. Thank God that any persecution that you experience can never, never, and I say that again, never take away your salvation. God keeps us saved, amen. Notice then Peter goes on to encourage these believers. Not only is salvation a sure thing, then he speaks about the trial of their faith. There in your notes, second point, Roman numeral number 2, the blank is the word trial. Notice with me verses 6 and 7. The trial of your faith. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice in your salvation, in that assurance, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That means trials, struggles, difficulties. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now understand something this morning, brethren, look up here. If you are a Christian, your faith is going to be tried. You know, there are some people that get saved and think that their life is going to be a problem-free for the rest of their lives. My friends, that's not what the Bible tells us, does it? No, Peter reminded them that the trials that they're experiencing are for a reason. Now, there are three special things he tells these believers, and we're going to look at them in the reverse order. He said, notice there in verse number 6, that they will experience manifold temptations. Manifold temptations. That simply means that there will be different kinds of trials in our lives. They won't all be the same. And by the way, they're not all the same for every believer. You see, there are some trials that you will go through that I will never go through. Isn't that right? There are some trials that I will go through that you will never go through. And the same thing happens between each other. And by the way, we need to be careful not to judge a fellow believer and be quick to judge and say, hey, I know why they're going through that problem. No, God has a specific reason. And the first of all, we need to understand that there are manifold temptations. That word temptation means trials, difficulties. There are different ways. It may come through illness for some. It may come through a failing in our lives for others. It may come through a specific challenge in the workplace or in the home. But you see, we will all go through different trials. If you think you are trial-free, well, just as I always say, you know, buckle up, put your seatbelt on, and hang on, because they will come. They do. And we need to be careful, first of all, not to be ignorant of what God says, that we will all experience trials. I think in our hearts we need to be careful, don't we, as Christians, to think, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, I come to church, everyone looks smiling and happy, and you know, and that's good to smile and be happy, but sometimes when someone asks, how are you going, we might like to share, look, pray for me, you know, and be honest rather than say, yeah, no worries, everything's fine. Often that's not the truth. It'd be good to share with each other some things and pray for each other and not complain, and of course, put someone in a corner for half an hour. And when we want to encourage each other, but you know, we should be honest, because we're all going through trials, and we do need encouragement, and we ought not to think that I'm the only one. Amen. We are all the same. That should encourage us already to know that, hey, we're all in the same boat. God says that there will be manifold temptations. Now notice what he says in verse number 6, if need be. Notice those words in verse 6. If need be. And this statement, brethren, means that our trials have a purpose. When a trial comes into your life, you might panic and you might question God, but remember, God is the one in heaven who knows what we need. Amen? If you go to a doctor, you want to go to a doctor that knows what you need. Amen? If you've got a broken leg, do you want that doctor to give you some medicine for the flu? Yes or no? No. You don't need flu medicine. No, you need you need him to fix your leg and put it in some plaster and help with that leg. You know, you want a doctor who knows what you need. And if that doctor doesn't help, you'll go to another one. But remember something, as Christians, our God is our great physician. He is our God. He knows exactly what we need. And most of the time, let's admit it, we don't want what God knows we need. We don't want it. Why? Because we have a stubborn, sinful flesh that doesn't want to change. We don't want to change to be more like Jesus Christ. But God's purpose and plan for the Christian once we're saved is life change from the inside out. And you know what that means? That means there's going to have to be some breaking, some pruning, some pressure in our lives to help us to come to God in a greater way. How many of you have experienced so far that without a trial in your life, we wouldn't come to God as much as we would if there is a trial? Or always when there's a difficulty, we see how much more we need God. Isn't that true? Always when there's a pressure, and when there's not, more often than not, we start to drift. We start to stop changing. God is our great physician. Let me encourage you, if need be, means He knows what we need. And He has tailor-made every trial for you and I according to what we need. And my encouragement to you this morning, if and when you go through that next trial, remember, the solution isn't running away from God. That never is the answer. That never helps. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to run away from God. He wants you to mock God and hate Him instead of coming closer to Him and experiencing God's victory through that trial and experiencing those faith lessons and that wonderful growth of faith through that difficulty. See, these believers, Christians, were going through great trials in the book of 1 Peter. But Peter said to them, look, there is a reason. Though the Roman Empire is slaughtering you and oppressing you and persecuting you, don't forget God is in the heavens and He hath done whatsoever He pleased. He is in control and He is allowing this for a reason, so that Christ will be made manifest in you, that you will become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's goal in our lives. There will be different trials and different ways for each of us this morning. And God says there is a purpose. Don't be discouraged with what you're facing. Don't allow those wrong thoughts to sit there in your heart and your head. Remember, God has a purpose. Overall, it is His work in your life. And when we are going through that trial, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, here's another encouraging truth. There in 1 Peter chapter 6, this is the third point. There are no blanks at the moment. But he says, manifold temptations, if need be, and backtracking, he says, for a season. For a season. I was talking to Brother Iron this morning. We're talking about the heat. And again, it's one of the hottest days in Cairns, and it's just hot. But we were encouraging one another that it's just for a season. The summer season isn't all year round. Amen. Thank the Lord. It is just a season. And we'll get through this one just like we did the last one. But remember, the same thing applies to our trials. God wants to encourage us this morning that it is just for a season. There is a time limit. It will not go on forever. There is one accusing thought that the devil loves to place in our hearts when we experience a difficulty, which is this, that will never end. It's going to be like this for the rest of our lives. We are stuck in a no-hope zone and there is no way out. How many of you have ever felt that way before? Absolutely. Let's be honest. You know, this trial's never going to end. But remember, God says the opposite. He says it's for a season. It is always for a season. Thank God we have a gracious God. But let me encourage you, don't miss out on those lessons in that season. You know, don't miss out on what God wants us to learn. I'm afraid many of us as Christians, we drift away from God during trials and that season is over. And then when the next season of trial comes, we don't learn the faith lessons in that one. And God is just going to continue to work in our lives because He won't allow us to stay in our destructive state of selfishness and sin. No, He's got seasons of trials to help us to change. Let me encourage you, those of you who have experienced trials in the past that God has brought you through and you're here this morning, look back on those and thank God for them and remember the seasons that are past and look forward to the seasons that are coming and say, well, the Lord got me through that. He can get me through this. Amen. for a season. These are encouraging truths. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. When we break down, it's because we think that this is the end and it will never change. That's not true. God's word says so. Now there is a purpose. Notice the rest of the verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. So here on the banner number two, we look at a smelting process. And if you can imagine the process of refining gold, in order for that gold to be purified, that's dug out of the ground, the impurities, the stuff in gold that is not gold, needs to be removed, needs to be taken away. Well, what needs to happen? Well, that gold needs to be refined. It needs to be purified. It needs to be treated and heated up in biblical days. We talk about the purifying of gold, and it needed to be melted at a great temperature in order for those impurities to be separated from the gold, so that that gold would become pure gold. That gold would become something beautiful. That gold would become something precious. And that's what God is doing in your life and mine through these trials. He's causing, well, let's say He's applying heat, amen. He's applying heat to our lives, pressure to our lives, in order for those impurities, in order for that selfishness, that sin, to be removed. Those sinful habits that we all develop before we were saved, and that we often develop after we are saved too. They need to be removed. They need to be dealt with. He's working in our lives for good. He is removing the bad and strengthening the good so that we would become more like Jesus Christ. That's why I put that image down there. Not only a picture of working hard for the Lord, but also the fact that He is working in our lives personally to purify us. That's the reason for your trial, Christian, ultimately. To purify your faith. To make you more dependent on God. To bring you closer to Him. Don't sit in a pit of despair. Draw nigh to Him. Draw closer to Him. He is in control. There is a purpose. It's for a season. There are many different ways, but God is doing a work in your life for good. That's what we need to know, don't we? To keep on keeping on through the difficulties. That He has a reason. He has a purpose. You know, don't blame the boss necessarily. Don't blame your unsaved brother necessarily. Don't blame this wicked world system, because remember, we are the children of God. We are in His hands. When we experience a trial, we need to go straight to the one who has ordained that trial. We need to go straight to the one that's in control of that trial. He's the one we need. His word is what we need. If you just meditated on these few passages, my friends, kept them in your heart, you would grow through the trials ahead, through the ones that you're in right now. The Word of God is what we need. The Word of God. That's what Peter encouraged them with, to strengthen the brethren. Lastly, in your notes, Roman numeral number 3, the appearing of our Saviour. What would keep these believers and you and I keeping on till He comes? Well, the remembrance that He is coming again. Roman numeral number 3, the appearing of our Saviour. The word is appearing. What will keep us keeping on? Well, being sure of our salvation, understanding that trials are for a purpose, and then understanding and believing, not only understanding, but believing that Jesus Christ is coming suddenly, imminently, any moment again. He is coming visibly, bodily, for you and I, and we shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And my friends, that is a wonderful and necessary comfort for you and I each day. Yet I'm afraid we live in a day where the average believer has forgotten that He is coming again. Ignores the fact that He is coming again. Look, as we look at prophecy this year, we will notice, as we already have, that the early believers lived every day in the light of Jesus' soon and sudden return. They were expecting He was coming back. And He is. And thank God He tarried and waited so you and I can live and be saved. But my friends, He is coming suddenly and imminently. And whatever we go through, we need to remember this wonderful truth. That Jesus is coming. You know what that will do to our hearts? That will keep us out of the pit of depression and keep us pressing on for Jesus Christ. Because we can't afford to sit in a pit in our lives when Christ is coming. And then he shows us and takes us up to heaven and he shows us, look, I was there for you. How come you didn't draw nigh to me? How come you didn't trust in me? I was there for you. Why were you sitting in that pit when you could have been out experiencing victory and telling others about me? You know, the trials in these believers' lives had the potential to ruin them for God's will. And yet Peter reminded them of something very special that we need to remember every day, that Christ is coming again. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? That any moment, the trump shall sound. Amen. We will hear it. The unsaved world won't, but we will. And then by the time you hear it, you'll be up. You'll be with him if you're saved. That's his deliverance and his plan for us as Christians. We need to keep that in our hearts each day. We need to make sure that we live for the Lord today, because today might be our last. We need to make sure that we don't put so much weight and importance and worry into the problems of our lives, because that will weigh us down. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? The same book that tells us that how we can get to heaven is the same book that tells us 300 times that Jesus is coming again. You've trusted in salvation, trust in his soon return. Amen. I trust these helps have been encouraging for you. And let me encourage you, just stick in the Word of God. Look over these notes. Allow God to help you through the trials this week as God helped these early believers. Be strong until his appearance.